The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, well, you can speak for the Grove. Aren't you an Ole Miss guy?
Oh, yeah, but, you know.
He did sort of speak on it as if that's something that goes on.
I'm outside. Will say the Shaboozy is a lot more popular.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
It's
huge.
It's just better.
When's the last time you've been in the Grove, man? Have you not been in
a minute?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Went.
Thought so.
You got not this past week, but the game prior.
That's the thing about those.
Man got a rebel blood.
That's the alumni. That's right.
Now. Oh,
I know. Yeah, especially the old.
We've got our intel on you now.
That's true.
The Memphis Ole Miss guys.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're gonna go. Why wouldn't they go back? They have to go back. It'd be silly to live in Memphis and never go back to the Grove.
You were saying about fine boozy.
Oh, fine boozy.
Don't want to get too off here.
Fine boozy. Sorry. You know, we go a little stir crazy when we're back in the building for the first time after a layoff. Anyway, you know. He does a weekly sort of hit with Tim Buckley at the
Q&A
Daily
thing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes I read them and I'm like, did ChatGPT generate these answers, Paul? Because I talked to Paul and we talked to Paul a lot on this show, and he's a lot less elaborate in the answers to the Daily Memphian than he is with us. So I always am wondering like what's going on with him. But Tim Buckley asked him. In so many words, what do you see in Ryan Silverfield's future? If a job offer from an even marginal power conference program comes along, is it time for him to jump, or do you see him as a Memphis lifer? And he said, that was such a significant victory against a hot coach, Tulane's John Sumrall, and an ascending team. But this season will likely be remembered for what could have been. As for Silverfield, he would be wise to study the success rate of his two predecessors at larger schools. I believe he would be wise to try and build a lasting legacy at UM, which is doable. But my guess is that he will leave if a big offer comes along. So that's what Paul Feinbaum said. Look at what happened to Justin Fuente. Look at what happened to Mike Norvell. Study their success rate at larger schools and proceed with caution. Build a lasting legacy at Memphis. That's very interesting to hear a guy like Feinbaum say at the national level. I do think a little of him is pandering. I'm not saying that's wrong. I get it. You're speaking to a Memphis audience. I'm like, you know, I totally understand that. But like the idea that anybody would build a lasting legacy at what is currently a non-power job is not feasible. It's not tenable. You can't really do that if you get a Power 5 job offer or Power 4 job offer, because you don't have the access. I mean, you do for now, but it's, you know, a lot more complicated. You know, you don't have the NIL. So, you know, I mean, at Memphis you do, but you know, just generally speaking in the non-power structure. I guess maybe in a unique situation it would be possible, but if Ryan Silverfield gets an offer from even a Purdue, I mean, I would just think based on what we know.
Does he think that Justin Fuente and Mike Norvell would say, I shouldn't have gone?
That's interesting.
Norvell, just take him for instance because he's still working.
Right.
And yes, he's had to go hire Gus Malzahn, that new Gus stepping down at UCF. I'm sure we'll discuss that at some point. Awful year this year. clearly, but he got the contract extension. The man's buyout is $63 million. That's what we're talking about when you're talking about, you know, making the jump and certain the potential of what you can do if you make the jump from Memphis into the Power Four. And so just from a dollars and cents standpoint alone,
yeah,
you don't do that. And you tell me, I mean, has Boise State, which everybody is telling me, has this great tradition, and they do,
yeah,
and this great history, and they're what, you know, we hoped Memphis could be this year. What coach stayed there more than eight? Chris Peterson, I mean, nine years for him.
Good call.
They're Boise State, again, committed to the brand. That's why they got rid of Avalos when he was 5-5 after a 10-4. We have a higher standard here. We're committed to our brand of football, not committed to a coach. And so I if we're looking at this through Feinbaum's opinion, you know, for Ryan Silverfield, stay and build a legacy. Nobody stays in a group of five situation.
You're right.
When they can be pulled up. Didn't happen at Boise, and it shouldn't happen here. Didn't happen with Norvell and Fuente, and they did the right thing taking that opportunity. That's what Memphis can create when it's good.
Yep.
And you know that again, if it's so good, then Ryan will have offers to go somewhere else, right? If he's doing so, because that's what this brand, Memphis football, should be about, is you be having a hot enough coach to go off to a Power Four. So I think he's wrong about the idea that you stay somewhere when you're in the group of five. And you're always, that goes against the nature of coaching.
Yep.
You're always trying to move up the ladder. And Power Four, and what are we talking about? Last we checked, forever more. Power Two, if it ends up winning, will always be more in terms of earning opportunity in group of five. It's not even really a conversation.
Yeah, no.
That's why we said if Ryan gets either one, Purdue, North Carolina,
you gotta go.
You jump.
You gotta go.
Because it's still Power Four.
Yeah, man. You just have to. Just for so many reasons. Plus you have a new AD here at Memphis. I don't know. I assume they get along fine, but
Peterson was 8 years.
You just never know. And I mean, Silverfield's been here for what? Five?
Five now.
I mean,
he's going into his sixth next year. You know, yeah. The idea you stay somewhere 10 to 15 years in a group of five, you don't do that.
Nah.
Not if you're any good.
Exactly. I mean, Willie was at Tulane for a while.
Now, if you're a fraud and you're trying to stay, you know, that's another question.
Right.
And you're trying to stay entrenched.
Yeah.
You want to go out and make those some permanent tattoos. You know,
right.
You go right ahead because that contract says you can do it.
That's right. At least for
just win nine and you get that extra year every year.
That's right. For only one more time can he do that though, right?
No. The nine is uncapped.
Oh, the nine's uncapped.
The 10 okay. Regular season and conference championship appearance.
Gotcha.
Is one time.
Gotcha. Okay.
That you get it. You get the 2 year extension.
Well, it'll be hard.
But
to
the
win.
Nine's uncapped.
It'll be hard to win point, nine next year.
To stay at 10 when you're now having a reset at quarterback.
Yeah,
you know, 9-10 is going to be, you would think, a little bit more of a challenge. But let's not look at the rest of this AAC and say all of a sudden it's good, because you'd still say Mountain West better than you this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look, anyway, it's an interesting answer there from Paul Feinbaum. I think if Silverfield got an offer, he would go.
I don't think any school is going to convince itself that Ryan Silverfield.
I don't know that Feinbaum is, like, entirely in tune with, like, just.
I'm just saying, is any Power Four school going to convince itself with no conference title game appearances that this is the right? They're going to look at the 20 wins and say, you're just want to think if you think that's a possibility.
Yeah, I do. I think it's a possibility. Yeah, just because I think.
Because of the recruiting.
Because the recruiting.
Because he runs a clean program.
Graduation
sounds
rate.
Like, sounds like Josh Pastner.
I think.
And like, that's what I'm saying. That's a dream scenario for me.
Well, the candidate.
If they want to sell themselves on
he's
that,
a sitting
go
head
right
coach.
Ahead.
He's a sitting head coach. You know, you don't have a lot of those to pick from in 2024. You know, so you're either taking a sitting head coach or you're taking a coordinator, right? So you have a guy that's got experience.
The Tulane guy comes in, moves right past you.
He just beat the dog crap out of the Tulane coach.
I understand that, but still, they're talking about his name more seriously than
I am. I ain't hiring the Tulane coach today. I tell you that right now.
He's going to look a lot better if he goes on and wins the conference championship. He'd be fine.
I don't care about that as an option.
And he has deeper ties, doesn't he, to the power conferences than Brian does?
I don't know. He was at Troy before he got to Tulane.
What was he at before that?
I don't know. I wouldn't hire Summerall after that beatdown, though. I'll tell you that off the rip. I think Silverfield put a little he put a little cigarette out on his candidacy.
Good Lord.
I hired Summerall. I'm hiring Silverfield over Summerall.
That was a no-pressure spot for Memphis.
They were 14-point favorites, and they never even had a chance. That's a red flag to me. You had one big game your whole year.
Good enough to me.
And we had to get the bedpan out. We got to get the bedpan out for y'all.
Man, go ahead and stick out your chest a little further then. Beat your rivals this year who are going on to play in the conference championship.
You want to hire John Summerall?
I'm just saying, you like him. You put Ryan above him now
because he got
down there
and beat his ass.
Stop.
At his trap. Ryan walked in with henna tattoos and took over his trap.
Summerall will always have something, even losing to Ryan, that Ryan will never have.
That, you can't say never. You cannot
well,
say
how
never.
How many more years going to take? Five?
You can't say never.
Do we have to wait till the freshman QB becomes a senior?
You might.
No.
Yeah, you.
I say no. That's enough. I know I got to do a couple of more, it feels like.
Yeah, you're going to have to do a couple more.
But y'all not going to subject me to that kind of purgatory.
Hey, George, he's writing down the dates on the wall like he's in prison, bro. He's like, oh.
The thing is, you're going to keep adding another year. Because the AAC's so weak, he's going to win nine.
Yeah. We might as well just take the schedule off, just rip off the whatever material this is, and just start one.
Can we just say
every day you just mark another day.
The 10-win Memphis football season, it's getting closer to the old 20-win seasons in college basketball. Isn't it? It's getting closer. It's getting closer. It doesn't mean a damn thing.
It's not.
Y'all can tell me.
It's not that bad.
He got the first ranked win since what, 19?
I think it's like 20. 20? I think it's like 25 wins.
First top 20 since then?
Yeah, first top. Yeah, since Norvell. I think it's.
But when he can't get in a title game.
20 is anybody's getting 20. Anybody and everybody's getting 20.
It's one thing when you
eight
pick,
wins is 20 wins
you
in
pick
my view.
Third or fourth, and you finish fourth. It's another thing when you pick first, and you finish fourth.
Tough, man. Tough.
So I'm gonna dock him for that.
I
you
get
guys
it.
Give him all the flowers and respect burgers you want to. There's a segment at one.
I don't think.
And
we're
you can change
him.
Your
I don't,
disrespect dog
I don't think
to a nice
flowers.
Glizzy for him.
I don't
just
think
give him
flowers.
A nice glizzy.
That's
because you've been glazing
glizzy.
All day.
No, that's not. I have not glazed about.
Yes, you have.
At all I said was that I wouldn't hire Summerall.
You just your chest is out further because of the win over Summerall.
I would not hire Summerall. He has completely fallen down my list of good coaches.
It's just too early. It's only done it 1 year at Tulane.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, your last game did not look so good.
You better get ready to learn.
But what I'm telling you is Ryan down from that. While you trying to pump him up?
I'm just saying.
But no, we should. Send a memo. Send this audio to Purdue and North Carolina.
I mean, you're ruining it.
I'll back up.
It's like you're not getting the bit, man. I don't know what I got to do.
Bit for you. Your chest is out further this week
because
you beat Tulane.
I am saying I do.
I can tell.
I mean this 100% sincerely. If I'm a power school, I am not hiring John
yeah,
Summerall.
See, he was an Ole Miss in Kentucky before he was the head coach at Troy. Like yeah. He's got some SEC.
Time. He has. He's still got work to do.
You know,
for me.
You know. Okay. Now I know
14 point favorites, and you get embarrassed.
Ryan was with the Vikings when he was 13.
He was. He was. He's with the
and
Vikings.
We hold that
he's
up.
With the Lions. You know, he's been a good recruiter. I mean, back-to-back 10-win seasons.
Well, you'd be good, too, if you had $4 million in NIL. John, you go out there and get some players, too.
I'm kind of with John on this one, only because now the track record. What happens with coaches that win a whole lot at the Sun Belt level and then get a big job? The last big one was Billy Napier, and he's been.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys still say it's impressive to go in there first year, new quarterback, if he wins the conference championship in his first year? And he's going to do that. They're going to beat Army.
What's
the line on that game? They're going to beat Army.
They're
going to get a better performance.
Tulane's minus four.
Probably. Minus four on the road.
Is it that impressive?
All $5
on
it.
Any good team Tulane played this year they lost to?
I'm just saying, in a year you weren't even you weren't even supposed to win the conference. This supposed to be a rebuild for you.
Third. They're picked third. Okay.
It's going to be a rebuild.
They overachieved, but they were not nearly as good as people thought they were entering the game.
They went 7-1. They had a blemish.
Yeah, they're AAC merchant.
Yeah, they went down there. Memphis stomped them.
AAC
the
merchant.
The team Memphis should have been.
They just fattened up on bad AAC teams, which unfortunately Memphis should have done, but did not.
I'll tell you what, you take the pressure off Memphis. We are a juggernaut. We'd be advancing in the college football playoff if there was no pressure.
Bro,
Ryan can't win a pressure
they
game.
They were dialing it up for Seth in that first drive. That man went deep to rock him. Like, they didn't do this all year. I mean, they did this maybe a combined five times, you know? I mean, that was the frustrating part for me is, like, where was this aggression?
Mine was more about that defense against Tulane was good enough.
It was a team effort. It was a team effort. Because you're right.
Kind of
they
defense
did,
against
they got
UTSA,
TSA off the field.
You're in the game.
You know,
you're in the AAC.
They got some turnovers. They were very good.
Yeah.
Anyway, AP poll is out. Where'd Memphis come in?
Tell you when we get back. Jason and John, 97.5 ESPN.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I never really quite understand the meaning of this song before I started doing the show with Jason, who I have to say has become a dissident himself. You become a dissident, man. When it comes to this Memphis football program, there is a dissident among us, George. And you're looking at him.
Just not going to change my standards.
Escape is never the safest place, Jason. Oh! A dissident! A dissident is here! What's your burner account, man? John Sumrall, number one fan?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Just man, wait. We packed his ass up.
Just wait till after we beat Army.
Oh, man. Anyway, we've talked a lot about Memphis football today, haven't we?
Everything's great over there.
We have some other things to get to.
What happened to that running back?
Including where Memphis has checked into the AP Top 25. George, let's get the rundown going.
Are y'all going to ignore me? Silence me.
I mean, what are we supposed to do, man? You working against us? You over here DMing the damn IL running back, telling me to get an IL from somewhere else? I mean, it's just crazy the things we got to deal with. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's focus on some undeniably consensus things we can all agree on, which is Memphis coming in at number 16 in this week's edition of the AP Top 25, ahead of teams like Houston, ahead of teams like Pitt, North Carolina. UConn somehow is still ranked. That is simply,
man, they lost all three.
Just a function of AP voters being asleep at the wheel.
And Dayton drubbed them.
Yep. They got beat handily three times. I mean, they were
well,
getting,
Memphis wasn't handled.
It wasn't, for a moment it was. They were down.
You're right. They didn't have to come back.
So, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, it was an overtime win, but still, the three L's still ranked in the top 25.
They crushed them.
Is insane. With Dan Hurley saying, I ain't ever playing in a three-game MTE ever again.
I heard that mess.
So Memphis comes in at 16. We said the range was probably 15 to 18, truly, and they come in at 16. So, not surprising to me at all. I will say, like, what obviously matters in today's age is the net ratings and the net rankings. Memphis is 31 there. And
31 at KenPom.
It's the first edition of the net rankings. And so over the course of time, they will probably correct. I do hate them because it just does. It rewards not who you play. It rewards how much you win by.
Yeah, but that seems like it's a lot better than it ever was last year when we were looking at it. We were saying,
what was their highest?
70 something at the net. Like, I don't remember what the highest was, but it never matched where you were on some of the others.
Maybe so.
But I remember us talking about that and discussing, okay, well, they're just scraping by. That Javon Quinterly, you know, hit shot, barely wins you the game, and that is hurting them in the net.
Yeah.
I don't know what it finished at, but
yeah.
Again, this is, you know, instinct gut tells me it feels better than it did last year.
So a year ago, I'm glad you said that. A year ago, they came in at 71. To their first one?
Yeah.
71.
Okay.
Year later, 40 spot improvement.
Yeah. So it is significantly better.
Yeah. yeah, I don't think they ever got higher than 40.
At last year.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they ever got as high. I know for a fact they never got as high as 31. You know, and Memphis obviously has a chance to improve upon that. You know, with the next few weeks on the schedule, right?
Well, you're playing for seeding.
Yeah, you're playing.
Hopefully, NCAA tournament seeding is what you're playing for.
That to me, like that, and that's kind of what I wrote after the Auburn loss, right? Is Penny said, you know, another guy in Kobe Rogers said, like, we don't want this loss to define our season. Which I respect the sentiment. I understand the sentiment,
yeah.
and I agree with the sentiment.
But in many ways, your presence in the Maui championship game has already totally redefined the season. It's already done that. Because we've gone from, and again, I know people will push back on this because what happened last year.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fair, but I think we also have to, like, we have to kind of update our priors here. We have to leave space. We have to hold space for the fact and the chance that this team is completely different, that they are completely comprised of different personalities. There's better leadership.
I like the way you put it in. It was your first or maybe your second. They've earned that now. They've earned that from us,
yes.
Right? That sort
yes.
of, whether it's yes. benefit of the doubt or yeah, yes, your investment, your hope, they've earned that.
Because one of the things that this team does do that the other team did not do, last year's team did not do ever at any point in the season, was they did not defend. This one does. We know this team defends. It's not elite. It's not like, oh, my God, they're a top 10 defense. But it's good. It's a good defense.
Yeah, and it's going to go up once they get to AAC play.
Definitely.
Like, you've played some pretty good teams
definitely.
And on the road a couple times.
So I think that's what they've done. They've already accomplished that. They've already taken this season from, oh, just get in by any means necessary and just try to keep the program from dying.
But perhaps, you know, raise the ceiling.
I think they've definitely done that. Now we're talking about seeding. Mm-hmm. How good of a seed can you secure?
Well,
can you get a top four seed?
Because you have to win the AAC. It's non-negotiable. UAB's
yes.
that bad, and there's nothing
yes.
there. So I'm
like,
with you.
The top AAC seed. Is so bad this year that the closest game for Memphis is a 4-point win, according to KenPom.
Is that on the road to UAB?
I can't remember exactly which one, but that would
has to be, right?
Yeah, that would stand a reason.
Like but maybe they're not even the highest ranked KenPom team in the AAC at this point.
No, they're
I mean,
not.
The second highest.
North Texas would be that.
Well, maybe that's the one they've got. Then.
But that they play that game at home, so it's
just the one time this
year.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
So that's. Let me say that again. The closest game projection wise for Memphis in the AAC this year, it's not even a loss. It's a 4-point win according to KenPom.
I got it. It's at Wichita State.
At Wichita. There you go.
Yep. 78-74.
That you know, I'm not saying that won't change, but there's a very real chance that Memphis winds up with a 27-4 type record, right? I don't know how many games they play.
31.
Okay, yeah. I mean, 27-4 feels like the record to me.
13 in the non-con, 18 conference games.
What's the over-under for Memphis wins right now?
It's gone way up from where you had it preseason.
No question. I've already atoned for that. I don't know how many more times I'm going to have to
continue to.
I have.
You tell the truth about Ryan, we're going to keep doing that.
I have fallen on that sword.
Okay.
I've bled out.
I know.
Multiple times.
You're tired of accountability.
I've already shown it. Okay.
Okay. No, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm about to ask you. We're about to move. You want to know
what's the real over under? Like honestly, just looking at it, like they have six right now. They're 6-1 right now. They have 25 games.
Six more non-conference games.
Yeah.
And
they have 24 more games.
You want to know what the over under is on the whole season?
Yeah. Like
not just the.
Yeah, they have 6 wins right now. 24 games left. What's the over under? What would you set it at? Wins.
Probably 20 and a half.
20 and a half?
Man, 21.
Hell no. You go out of business. We putting out a billion on that.
Clemson and Virginia.
A billion.
I realize Virginia's down. Those are losable games.
A billion.
For whatever reason, Ole Miss always seems to have your number.
Ole Miss is a good team.
Yeah.
They're a good team.
And they're better this year
Miss
than they have
been.
A good
team.
So this is Chris's best
team. I think
team.
You could go.
It's Ole Miss's best
team. I
think
you
team, go
probably
2-2
in that four-game stretch.
I would
that
hope
mentioned.
That you're going to go 2-1 there, but I could easily see 1-2. Through those three, and I think the others, Louisiana Tech, Arkansas State, and who's the other one I'm leaving out? Mississippi State.
Right. Mississippi State! So I'm saying, you go 2-2 in those games. Clemson, Virginia, Ole Miss, because both those Mississippi games are here. So you're going to split those.
And that's three losses.
Okay, so they put you to three. All right, you think they're going to lose twice in the American? Oh my God, that would be devastating.
18's a lot of games, but no, I'd be hopeful that it's only, you know, no more than five.
26-5, honestly, that's what it feels like. 26-5.
That feels so lofty, but I suppose we're getting there.
I'm giving you two L's in the abysmal league.
They've still got, it's three top 50s with Clemson, Mississippi State, Mississippi. Three top 50s.
At Wichita State, okay, you lose.
Now, both of those home games, Mississippi State and Ole Miss, are both at home. That's what they got going.
Yeah. So, like, they could go 3-1 in those games.
Man, they can mess around and go 3-1. It's going to be exciting.
Because then
in terms
you,
of what, you, know,
then
what
you actually have room to lose three in the American if you must.
Yeah, I could see the losing at Wichita State.
Yeah,
I mean, 88 at KenPom.
Right, that's a winnable game.
North Texas is 66. Even is that all about how
they've played well?
How slow they play?
Yeah,
yeah, same
yeah.
thing.
And but that game's here.
360th in adjusted tempo.
Yeah, they always play
but
the same way.
They have to be the second highest ranked American team.
I believe they are.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, that's possible. Possible
yeah.
ills. I anything less than 15-3.
I would say
and
that.
I think even anything less than 16-2, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, I would say that.
Certainly anything less than 15-3.
I think 25.5 is the number on wins. Like you know, they could win 26.
Oh, I thought my number was out of the 24 remaining.
I meant all.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, so, you see why my number was
okay, so
21
had,
and a yeah.
So you basically had
or 20 and a
you
half
basically
out
had
of the 25. 24.
Yeah. So you had 26 and a half.
So we weren't far off at all. Okay, in fact, we were in the same.
Gotcha.
Right there, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I was only doing it out of the remaining 24
yeah,
the way you presented.
So you got 26 and a half. I got 25 and a half.
Okay.
Basically the same.
Yeah.
26 wins would be a remarkable achievement.
I mean, it completely changed how we feel about the possibility of this season.
That's what Maui achieved. Yes,
you've raised the ceiling,
And you're 16th in the AP poll. So I mean, you're relevant
two
again.
Hall of Fame coaches,
you know,
you played well against the team that thumped you. You shot 50%.
Yeah, they just did
you
a good job.
Over
11
times.
They did a really good job in the game plan of just preventing you from shooting the three.
Well, and I don't think there's anything in college basketball that can stop Jani Broom.
Nope.
I may be mistaken, maybe some Hunter Dickinson dirtiness or something, but that dude at this level is unstoppable.
Yes, he is.
And they are intense with the nine other dudes they throw at you.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how you beat
interchangeable.
Them.
Like, it's, ooh.
Yeah, they play at Duke this week, so that'll be a...
Yeah, Wednesday, I think.
That'll be a fun test,
dude,
fun
they,
game.
They, their schedule, that's what... And I'll get to it. But respect to Bruce Pearl.
Yep.
And see, Jani is one of those guys, you mentioned it 2 years ago, he was there. They've had him. They've built him into this. But 2 years ago, he wasn't nearly the factor against Memphis when they beat him in Atlanta, beat Auburn in Atlanta, that he was. And that's what we need. That's what Memphis now needs. If it's P.J. Haggerty for 2 years or, you know, some of these guys that stay for a while, you develop them. That's how you get in that continuity. You like what you see from Penny Hardaway. What number again? 16?
16th in the AP.
And then 15 at the coaches' poll?
Is it 15 at the coaches' poll?
Something like that.
I never look at the coaches' poll.
Well, AP's all that matters.
Because that's just what they use, right? That's just what they use in the on the TV broadcast anyway. Memphis, obviously, back in action later this week on Wednesday at home against Louisiana Tech. The next big one for them is going to be at Clemson on the 14th. That's an early game. That's a 10 a.m. game I've got here on Google. You know, Arkansas State's, I mean, I'm not saying that Memphis will lose or can lose, but they are, like, not that bad. So, you know, the point is you got to be locked in all of these. Like, Memphis has no gimmies in the next five games.
Hopefully we get some legs back, you know, because you've got some time.
Yes, exactly.
A Clemson game, but it's like a week after your Arkansas State game.
Yes.
6 days after. So.
Because starting on that day, it goes Clemson, Virginia, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. Four games back to back to back to back.
Oh, well, that's your NCAA tournament seeding right there.
Yeah,
it
really is.
It's going to be determined.
And the good news is, like you said, you have, and this is good for a team that plays such a small rotation, you have four games in between Clemson and Virginia. I wonder if you just stay in the area because you're already close enough, right? I mean, I guess you come back, but
you said four days between Clemson and Virginia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you just stay there?
Oh, well, they did that with San Fran in a way. They wasn't that long a stay, but they
just
did that
fly to
before.
Virginia. I mean, instead of flying
to
back to Memphis, then coming right back. I don't know. I guess when you charter, it really doesn't matter. But then you have 3 days between Virginia and Mississippi State, then a whole week to get ready for Ole Miss. So, I mean, that's a big advantage, especially when you're here at the house. So, big weeks coming up for Memphis basketball, trying to punctuate that Maui performance with a strong finish to the non-conference.
Wish La Tech hadn't lost to Southern. They'd be undefeated coming in, but take care of your business.
That's right.
All right, Grizzlies complete a 4-0 homestand and now on six straight overall after 136-121 win over Indiana yesterday down at FedEx Forum. A little bit of an eyebrow raiser there after a quarter. They were down 17, 45-28. So overall, I think they ended up falling behind 19 there to start the second quarter. But overall, 32-34 point turnaround with the way they just dominate that second half in particular, outscoring Indiana, 74-53 by 21 points in that second half. We'd mentioned how good Ja Morant looked, 19 points, 8 assists. Grizzlies put this out there, 6,000 career points, 2,000 career assists. He has now reached in his short career. Only Mike Conley and Marc Gasol have done that. What looked good is that Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart both had 16, 6 assists. Again, that cutting Marcus Smart, you know, he's figured this offense out. And the last couple of games has looked really good offensively. Desmond Bane, you'd like to see. And then I'd be remiss not to have the guy who's sort of been just the most consistent thing about this team all season long. It's Jaren Jackson Jr., particularly offensively. 25 points in that one, 8 of 14, 3 of 6 from 3. Also tied a season high with 8 rebounds. You'd love to see that. But you love him more, the 3 blocks. Like we said, Grizzlies have just been remarkably efficient for a team going through as much of, you know, in flux in many ways with the injuries and everything else. You've only had your 3 star players together for a handful of games. You know, to be as efficient as they are, it's pretty impressive. And now second in the West in point diff, 8 plus 8.8. That's 4th in the league in terms of the advanced NBA stats. 5th in offensive rating, 6th in defensive rating. 5th in net rating. They're number 1 in rebounding percentage. And the Grizzlies and Golden State are the only teams. This one tells you a lot. The Grizzlies and Golden State are the only teams playing at a top 5 pace that have a positive, that also have a positive net rating. So they're fast. They're one of the fastest teams in the league. The Grizzlies are 3rd in pace. It's one of the reasons they're keeping the minutes low, playing a lot of guys. But they're efficient, unlike the 3 other teams in the top 5. Golden State's 5th in pace. They, too, are one of the more efficient net rating teams. The Grizz are, right now, both of them have 2 positive net ratings. At Grizzlies at 8, plus 8. Golden State at 6.3. So nobody's as fast. Golden State's the closest thing, and efficient. All in one package, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Really, it's been remarkable how well they've played. This new offense is working. What we're going to see is what it looks like against some better competition. 4 of the next 6 are on the road, starting with Dallas on Tuesday. We mentioned it. Luka is back. Had 30-something, I think it was 36, at Portland. He's back from a wrist strain. You were hoping you might miss him. He's back, and Dallas has played well without him, and then beat Portland with him. Then you come back home. You got Sacramento on Thursday before you go to Boston. So it's going to get a lot greater in terms of competition level, which would be good to see. What you loved the most was that the Grizzlies took advantage. What was it, 5 straight opponents with sub-500 records? You beat all of them in this 6-game winning streak. And so, and as we've mentioned in that first hour, you have now built up that home record of 10-3. Number one, it's more home wins you had all of last season, which was a nightmare, we know. But just 9 last season, you already got 10. 10-3, second-best home record in the NBA behind only the Cleveland Cavaliers. So it looks good. Looks reminiscent of what you were 2 years ago, just in terms of your place in the Western Conference standings now, 3rd. And also the fact that you're, you know, on top of the league and things like rebounding percentage.
Yeah.
This team's playing fast, it's playing efficient, and it's getting healthier. I guess next up will be hopefully Zach Edey before Vince Williams return and then Gigi Jackson return. But so far, so good for these Memphis Grizzlies, who will be back in action tomorrow against a hot Dallas Mavericks team that's also moving up the West Conference standings.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about your news, man. We haven't even discussed the Thanksgiving gift that you had received. You know, some people, I don't know what was on your plate, man. I don't really know what was going on in your house. I don't know what you had for dessert. You maybe a little, cheesecake.
We did have some cheesecake.
You had some cheesecake. Yep, yep. Maybe a peach cobbler.
Not this year.
Okay, not this year.
And I missed it.
You missed it.
Well, we got a ton of apple pie.
Apple pie, strawberry pie, poontang pie. He's had all the pies in the world.
That poontang, that was not.
But
yeah,
what you lacked in peach cobbler, mm-hmm. my friend, you got in transactions and hirings and firings. Because if you ever want to know what it looks like to bungle an end of game situation at the NFL level, we saw probably the most egregious one ever. With what happened at the end of Chicago Bears-Detroit Lions game by Matt Eberflus.
I mean, the Hail Mary was pretty bad, too, to lose to the Commanders on that Hail Mary.
He had
3 timeouts.
We're stacking them up here.
He multiple times.
But Chicago's trailing 23-20, right? They have the ball. They have a timeout left. They're in field goal range.
Yes.
And somehow, what is it, Caleb Williams takes a sack?
The sack is what just threw Eberflus's mind into a...
And rather than, like, call a timeout to try to, like, gather the situation or even, like, get a quick playoff and then, you know, try to get some yards and whatever, he lets the clock drain.
I think Caleb even changed the play to take more time off.
Right. And instead of, like, okay, let's get back to the line of scrimmage quickly, try to complete a quick pass over the middle, call a timeout, get our field goal kicker out, they let the clock wind down so long.
Bro, you should have seen my face.
They only have one play. and they have to go deep to whoever it was, DJ Moore, and that's the game, and that's it. And what was 30 seconds whittled all the way down to five before they got the snap off. Chicago Bears lose in regulation 23-20.
Should have beaten Detroit.
And everybody in the building has to be absolutely
or at least
flabbergasted as to what they saw take place. And after the game, Matt Eberflus said, yeah, I think we handled it the right way. And that's when his ass immediately got fired.
Inexplicable to say that.
And the thing is, dude,
this one's on me.
They didn't even go to a huddle.
Yeah.
It was no huddle. It was clearly, you know, two-minute offense. Caleb calls the play at the line, getting his guys where they need to be, clearly confused, clearly taking up that clock, and Eberflus just sitting there with his hands in his pocket.
And then there's players to the left and right of him on the sideline, because you can see Eberflus while it's happening, that are kind of going crazy. They're saying, you know, body language is saying, time out, or come on, let's go. And Eberflus just standing there watching it, watching the time run off. And incredible incompetence on his part. If we're talking about guys that have been over their head, we mentioned Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. That was awful. So bad. Sean Payton called it one of the worst coaching jobs ever, if I'm not mistaken. We thought he was wrong for that, but it was actually factual just in terms of how bad it was. The clock management at the end of games for Eberflus has been awful, but what's even worse is what, you know, we're kind of alluding to, the lack of accountability afterwards. The this is on my, you know, Tyreek Stevenson with the Hail Mary, rather than you calling timeout and getting him straight, because he'd been doing it the play before. I mean, it's the Green Bay game, you didn't get closer. That field goal gets blocked because it's a lower trajectory, because you're from 45 plus instead of potentially 40 or under. You didn't run a play there. Then this. I mean, he has cost you games. And the fact, if it had gone on another week, then you wouldn't have been able to trust the GM, Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, the president, because it's been that bad.
Yeah.
We haven't seen coaching malpractice this bad in a long time in the NFL. So he was asking for it, and particularly so when he gets up in front of that microphone and says, I thought we did it the right way. What are you talking about? None of us could understand what we were watching.
Yes.
As that time ran off. And so it's a sweet deal for me.
Yep.
And any Bears fan that's hoping to land Ben Johnson or any other offensive-minded head coach to tutor. Because I think what you've seen is that there's enough with Caleb there. That if you have the right teacher, you like what you have. I think we've seen that from him just in terms of the change to, you know, Thomas Moore, the new OC, the brother who I guess is going to be out of a job at the end of this year, but he's done a good job with Caleb in getting that ball out faster. He's the interim now at this point. And, bring in Ben Johnson and anybody he wants. You know, only question is, are we going to get outbid by a team like the Raiders, willing to give a Ben Johnson type, who I imagine is going to be the most sought-after candidate. You know, say for who's going to be more sought after than Ben Johnson? Not Vrabel, not Belichick, not any of these guys. Maybe the Raiders offer him a $100 million deal like they did Gruden.
Right.
You know, that scares me. But other than that, you got to hit start on it, man. Go do your intel.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
go tamper. Don't tell anyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do
there's
something.
There's obviously a lot of, a lot of.
The rumors were he was interested last offseason when he did not take.
Right.
Jobs or didn't pursue interviews with the Chargers in Washington. The rumor was he liked Bears, but come on, I will say, if you are a head coach and you look at the way the Bears have managed coaches lined up with GMs under presidents, we have screwed the pooch.
Kevin Warren said it's a great job, though. He wanted you to know that.
I think it's a great job because of the personnel, but you're going to have to look past how bad the front office has been.
Yeah.
Oh, because they've been just as bad as the coaching over the last few years.
Yeah. Are you guys letting Kevin Warren make the decision, man, or what?
Nah, I think Kevin's got to let Ryan Poles make the decision. If you got confidence in him, that's the way you got to get lined up with your GM, coach, quarterback. We have not been on the same page going all the way back to Trubisky.
The Chicago people are saying that Kevin Warren just had a press conference and it made it pretty clear that he's running the show now. I don't know how that makes you feel, but that's what the Chicago people are saying. Jarrett Payton, who I guess is the son of
Walter.
Yeah, he said, after watching the Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles presser, my biggest takeaway is that Kevin Warren is the one calling the shot at Hollis Hall.
Well, I thought that during Hard Knocks, the way that, you know, that Poles kind of looked at Kevin Warren as, you know, I got this. I don't need you looking over my shoulder. And maybe Kevin Warren at this point has seen enough now. Just the decision to bring Eberflus back. Ryan Poles making that decision now that clearly looks like a mistake. Sure, you did a good deal with Carolina that netted you the number one pick again, the chance to get Caleb. You get DJ Moore in that deal. But the fact that you brought Eberflus, you wasted a whole season. And so if I'm Kevin Warren and I'm judging Ryan Poles, then if I want to take the, I think it's absolutely justifiable if he decides to take the reins. But again, you are making him in many ways a lame duck GM by not giving him his choice. That said, maybe he doesn't deserve it anymore when you decide to keep Eberflus for another year.
Yep.
You know, instead of going after a Ben Johnson last year.
Yep.
With your new quarterback, you have wasted essentially a year because now Caleb's got to go new coach, learn whole new stuff.
Yep.
After Waldron, after Moore, now a whole another one. That's not ever good. No matter how talented the prospect is, it's not ever good for a quarterback. We've screwed. We can give you a lesson 101 in screwing up QBs.
Absolutely right. But you guys got an opening. So, I mean, look, Raiders. Well,
now you hope you're next, right?
The Raiders had their own execution problems at the end. It's the graceful, elegant tank. No doubt about that. That was beautiful to see. That's what you want, right? You lose a competitive game that helps you with your standings, with your draft standings. The problem, again, becomes like the Giants are clearly not going to win another game this year. You know, I just don't.
That's my thing. Can't get Ben Johnson. Slick good pick. Mm-hmm. Might be a fired Brian Daboll.
Yeah,
if they do fire. There's going to be a new GM coming
they do
in.
Fire. I'm not sure that they will fire him, but if they do.
Let's see. New GM usually wants his own guy.
Yeah. So anyway,
I would say
yeah.
You shouldn't.
Lots of movement already in the NFL as Eberflus is out. Probably 2 weeks too late. I mean, once he lost that game to Green Bay, I thought that would have been it. But yeah, he finally does get the axe, and maybe a little late season reset coming for the Chicago Bears because they had quit. That defense at least had quit on his ass, and it was obvious to anybody watching. So
he's not a leader of men.
No, he's not. He just isn't.
Man, make him a linebackers coach somewhere next year.
That's what it'll be. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Got Respect Burgers, and then Jeff Cogs gonna join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM, ESPN? The Live Love Memphis Group is here to help you. If you're renting, and guess what? You're paying 100% interest. If you've been on the sidelines and you've been thinking about, man, I just don't know, like, can I afford it with interest rates? If you're renting, the answer is yes, you can afford it. And that's where the Live Love team comes in. They're going to help you find the home of your dreams. Start working on your own wealth, not somebody else's. Reach out. So to livelovememphis.com.
Yep. You might have told yourself you can't do it. You might have told yourself you can't afford it. It's quite possible that you can. You don't even know it because that rent, as John says, is just going to keep going up, 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 and up. You could be putting it towards some equity and building it up. You don't even know it. So call Jennifer Carstensen, and if there's a possible path for you, then she's going to find it. That's what she specializes in, helping first-time home buyers. She loves doing that. That's her way of improving Memphis, getting folks out of renting situations and into ownership situations. And she'll be a great resource for you. Whatever questions you have about the market, about interest rates, and whether now is a good time, or on the selling side, she'll get you the most money possible, not going to leave you hanging, have you out there for weeks or, God forbid, for months. Maybe even more because you've got it priced wrong, right? And you got to lower the price, decrease the price. Jennifer's going to get it right the first time, get you the most money for that home. She's been doing it now for a long time in every market. 901-625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Okay, so we have not talked about the weekend that was in college football.
Crazy weekend.
Crazy weekend. I mean, we've got some teams that are out. We've got some teams that are back in. So let's get into some of the most notable results from the weekend. Georgia damn near.
Eight OTs.
They damn, the bed. They damn near lost everything with a thrilling, thrilling victory eventually over Georgia Tech. 43-41 was the final there. It was an 8 overtime game,
but 44-42. What'd you say? Final?
Sorry. I think I made the score. Yeah. 44-42 was the final. I think I said 43-41, 44-42 was the final here. And it did go, but it's not real OTs though, you know,
but it's still 8 OTs.
It ain't the eight OTs of old Arkansas in 2004. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's fake. But yes, it did go 8 OTs when you get to the 2-point conversions and stuff like that. So Georgia, I mean, would they have been out with a loss? They almost certainly would have been.
They would have still been in the SEC championship game.
I guess they would have had a chance
and a chance to win it, and then a loss there would have been a fourth loss.
Right.
So then out.
Yeah.
But we don't have to even do the what ifs because they pulled it out.
They won,
but they almost blew it.
So
like
that
you said, lost it all.
That kind of kickstarted a what was a very chaotic weekend of college football. A team that I would say is out is your Miami Hurricanes.
Yes,
they lost over the weekend to an unranked Syracuse team.
Not even going to make the ACC title game,
and they're out of the ACC title game. Clemson is in the ACC title game. Fran Brown said, "Dabo, you're welcome." He looked into the camera and said, "You're welcome for that, Dabo."
No one heard the fourth got too cocky about this hurricane.
Yeah, Miami's out.
They peaked early.
Their resume stinks.
Has Cam Ward hurt himself? Is he still going to be a top five, top ten pick?
Yeah, I don't know. I struggle a little bit, but I don't think he's really hurt
himself.
Cam
Ward didn't give up the 42.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, but if you've watched Miami at all this year, you know they've been flirting with this. I agree with that.
He plays a dangerous game.
He certainly
not sure
does.
You can do it. We're seeing Caleb Williams, that dangerous game he plays. You can't do that in the NFL.
You
got to be system, 60 to 70% of the time.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. So Miami loses 42-38. They're out. Their resume stinks. They have no prayer of getting in the playoff now. Michigan beats Ohio State.
Amazing.
As a 19.5-point underdog.
Amazing. Wolverine fans must feel like it's just complete ownership of Ryan
now,
Day.
1-4. Is Ryan Day against Michigan. I don't know how he's not fired at the end of the year. I mean, that's not good enough at Ohio State, right? Against that team?
I would say not.
I mean, that's what gets you fired at Ole Miss. That's what gets you fired at Mississippi State. If you go 1-4 against Ole Miss or Mississippi State, you get fired. Isn't that why Mississippi State fired, what's his name? Who was my guy?
Joe Moorhead.
Yeah, Joe Moorhead. He couldn't beat Ole Miss, right? So that's the way it goes. I mean, yes, I mean, it matters what you do the other 11 games of the year. But if you can't win that one, and it works to the inverse. If you go 3-8, but that fourth one comes against your in-state rival, we'll figure it out, man. We'll find a way to keep you for another year. So I think that's definitely I think Ryan Day is on thin ice. He's never shown that he's a good big game coach anyway.
Correct.
I mean, with the talent, with the NIL they have, I think you move off from his ass. Let's see what
Tennessee,
else.
Tennessee making it. Yep. Tennessee beating Vandy locked itself in.
Down what, 14-0 in that game?
Yeah, at one point they wanted to play around.
It looked a little dicey, but they come back and handle Vanderbilt on the road and solidify themselves in the college football play. Again, that's
Dylan
what Lane
Sampson
was talking
just,
about.
Their MVP, he's just an absolute stud. Their running back.
Yeah.
Probably don't talk enough about him.
Yeah, Tennessee's found a way here. Took a bad L to Arkansas, but they have stabilized for sure. And again, because they're not in the SEC championship game, they can rest easy. They good.
Mm-hmm.
They're in. So Tennessee is in.
Yep, they just had a.